Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
Hello everybody, welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge and this is your latest Manchester United news and transfer news as David Ornstein reports on Michael Carrick's future and it's not done. We'll talk about that, whether United should be announcing it today. Why not? Why wait a few weeks? David Ornstein with the update there. Also Fabrizio Romano and David Ornstein talking about transfers. Could Manchester United.
What's up, Foos? Main event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Also be looking at somebody as groundbreaking as Harry Kane. Shock transfer stories coming in this morning as well. But it's the morning after the night before. We've got Champions League football and I think it's time to go to work. I think regardless of what we're going to talk about today, tomorrow, next week, the summer starts today. It is May the 4th. May the 4th be with you. Because it is May and we have got Champions League football and there's only two other clubs in the Premier League at the moment that can get in contact with players and say, we're in the Champions League next year. That's Arsenal and Man City. We have to take advantage of that. Chelsea don't even know if they're going to be in Europe. Liverpool still very much in upheaval about what they're doing.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CT&Cs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
We got to be on the blower this morning going, you know, we're in the Champions League. This is our project. Come to Manchester United. You've got to take advantage of that. Whether you're speaking to Newcastle, whether you're speaking to Stuttgart, whether you're speaking to Nottingham Forest about Elliot Anderson. I think that Wilcox has been very, very lucky, regardless of what happens in the summer. I think he's been very, very lucky in his job because he's done next to nothing.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CT&Cs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
He sacked a manager halfway through the season. He went down to the garden shed. He had a look at, you know, some, you know, old tools that we already had called Solskjaer and Carrick. He chose Carrick. It's worked really, really well. But that wasn't, you know, that's just luck. You know, Solskjaer or Carrick, which ex-player do I go for? I'll try Carrick this time. And it's worked out. So this whole recruitment process around a manager, he's not actually got off his arse and done anything. Michael Carrick has saved him. He now needs to get off his arse in the transfer window because I tell you what, I've watched Man United every game for the last 3 months and there's absolutely no way that with less than 50% possession and the way that we're playing, this is sustainable. Where is the vision? Where is the performance? Well, I know I've said that a lot, but ultimately, where is the open heart surgery that Ranić spoke about 5 years ago that we all know we need? Because Harry Maguire, Bruno Fernandes, Luke Shaw, Dalot, these players are not open heart surgery. So these are all going to be starters next season. Ahmad's still going to be here, and Mbeumo, Cunha. We need big investment in this team, especially if Carrick's going to get the job. One midfielder and a couple of bench players. We're going to be in trouble next season. This is an aging team. We don't have a youthful team. We have an aging team. We need a huge transfer window. Regardless of what you think about the manager, we need a really big, impactive transfer window. Big money spent, big players coming in, because there's absolutely no way that this football is going to be sustainable. So we need to build a better squad than what we have. We need to build a better future, because Harry Maguire is not going to be able to carry on for much longer. Casemiro's about to go. Bruno will keep going, but for how much longer? We absolutely now need to be focused on the transfer window. I think the manager conversation sort of takes care of itself. Even I would concede that, you know, I've said for a long time that they'll give it to Carrick. And based on results, obviously, you'd be an idiot to say he doesn't deserve a chance. Still wouldn't give it him. But look, I think we all know he's going to get it. So my focus now is, if this is going to work, and it's a big, big if, I think even the most staunchest Carrick inner would say, this won't work. This current team won't work. You know, there's a lot of cracks in it and they're papering over it. If Carrick gets the job, or Iriola gets the job, or whoever, there's not a fan out there that sits back and goes, yeah, we're not far off. We're bloody miles off. You know, talk of titles in the next 2 years. You're having a laugh. Yeah, having a laugh. I think a lot of teams are going to be more competitive next year, and we need to improve. This time next year, we've got to be back in the Champions League. Absolutely. In the spirit of May the 4th, can you put your hood on and do the Rise Lord Vader bitch? Much love, says Notorious. I may do that a little bit later. Yeah, it probably works quite well with this hoodie. I nearly did it. Right, let's get into the show. Lots to talk about. I'm going to start off with a big update from David Ornstein, though. You might not have seen this last night in your celebrations about Champions League and beating Liverpool twice and being a better team than Liverpool. So David Ornstein gave a big update at the end of yesterday. He basically said Michael Carrick has done an excellent job and is now in a very strong position to land the role permanently, and it's becoming harder to overlook him. However, figures like Jason Wilcox, Omar Berada and Sir Jim Radcliffe and the Glazer family will still run a full process, weighing Carrick against more experienced trophy-winning managers. Summer planning is also a priority. Midfield is the priority, with Elliot Anderson the top target. Sancho, Rasmus are expected to leave, while Maino is set to stay, and obviously that's going to happen. And Carrick is already involved in the planning, putting himself in the best possible position to get the job full-time, but the final decision hasn't been made yet. So look, I think a lot of people, there was even a rumour going round last night. Rubel, you're gone. Thank you. There was even a rumour going around last night that Michael Carrick might get appointed today as the manager. I would say that that's not going to happen. David Ornstein's obviously a very, very good journalist. We've had Ben Jacobs say this. I think Romano sort of hinted at it as well. I don't think they're going to give Carrick the job until the end of the season. I actually think they're going to stick by that. Whether we'll interview other candidates or not, I don't know. Maybe we'll say we ran a process and decided to go with Michael. They've put them. I think that if you want to, I think they made a big mistake, Man United. I think they should have ran the interviews in March. I think they should have been running them in March and April, like they did with Pochettino and Ten Hag. I think waiting to the end of the season, just it's a bit strange, really, a little bit strange to me. But look, I think there's an inevitability that Carrick will get the job. There's certainly a conversation, as I said, that he deserves to be given a chance because of all the games he's won. You can't argue with the results. You absolutely can't. I don't really know what United are doing, because they're not aggressively going after managers anyway. They're not like speaking to managers who are going to manage in the World Cup. They're not speaking to managers who are currently in a job. There's one guy that, you know, he's doing a fantastic job, and his name's Iriola. You can't argue with it. He's got the best unbeaten run in Europe. They play fantastic football. They're a small club. He's available. No doubt a better coach than what we have at the moment based on the way that he plays and what he's done. But I can't see United taking that. I really can't. So I think that they will give Carrick the job, but they don't seem to want to do it in season. And it's a bit of a strange one, because the buzz is high at the moment. I could almost see why people think they'd give it him today, but apparently that's not going to happen. It's not done yet, and it won't happen till towards the end of the season. So, I mean, look, I don't really know what to say about it. I won't change my mind. Like, no one's going to change my mind. I've always said that if he gets the job, I'll back him. That's what you should do with any manager or signing. Do I think it's the right choice? No, I don't. And no one's going to change my mind. And people will say, oh, you're negative, or you've got an agenda. I don't think it's negative or having an agenda when you highlight your issue with it in January and you keep saying it every bloody day. I'm bored of saying it myself. what I find most interesting is how people keep preaching to those people who don't want it to happen that we should want it to happen. It's just an opinion, and yours is different to mine, but you won't convince me that we should give the job to Michael Carrick and Steve Holland. It's not even stubbornness. I just do not believe it's the right thing to do. I see way too similarities with people like Roberto Di Matteo, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. People get lost in results. Oh, look at all the games we've won. I mean, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer wasn't that long ago. And he won a load of games as well. I just do not agree that, oh, we've won a load of games with a load of unreliable players and now everything's going to be fine. I think, what if next season these results don't maintain themselves, which I don't think they will, and then you're playing twice a week with a bunch of players that can't play twice a week and we don't have a good summer transfer window and suddenly we're down where Newcastle are and everyone's going, we shouldn't have done this. Is there a chance that that will happen? Yeah. And then where are you? You're stuck with an inexperienced coach who's out of his depth with a bunch of players that are inconsistent and you're sort of like going, the Glazers have done it again. So that's my concern. And I'm not going to change my mind on that. But on the other hand, the results are brilliant. I understand why people want to give him the job and I understand that he deserves a chance at it. But I just don't think it's the right thing to do. And that's, I don't really see why people have a problem with that. Other than they want their opinion to be the right opinion. But if you're right, you'll be right, won't you? Why are you screaming and shouting at people who are saying, I personally wouldn't give him the job? I would give Iriola the job over him. I'd definitely give Nagelsmann the job over him. I'd give Emery the job over him. I'd give Tuchel the job over him. 100%. Absolutely 100%. So, but he will get the job. And I wouldn't say I'm comfortable with that, but I'm at ease with it. And that's why I said at the start of the show, I really just would be more comfortable if they gave him the job and we can stop having the manager job, because it's almost like delaying the inevitable. And I want to get on with the summer transfer window. And I do actually start to think that the longer they... Is there some tactical thing going on here that if they don't give Carrick the job until the first week of June, oh, it's the World Cup now. You can't sign anyone while the World Cup's on. Are we sort of doing it because we're trying to buy time on transfers? Because if Carrick got the job today, we'd be talking about Elliot Anderson and Tonali tomorrow. Now, we've done this before with the January transfer window. We need two or three signings. We get one, but we get them in the last few days of January so that you can't go, where's the next one? And I do think with the manager, we all know Carrick's going to get the job. The club know he's going to get the job. Everybody knows he's going to get the job. But, oh, we're going to wait till the end of the season. Well, the end of the season's a month away. Like, we could be working on transfers. So maybe it's just a little bit of spin. Maybe it's a little bit, let's delay the inevitable so we don't get heat about transfers. Because ultimately, if Michael Carrick is getting the job, surely he's talking to Jason Wilcox about players. Why aren't we going for players, you know? Maynou saying they would die for Carrick, and Cunha comparing Carrick to Sir Alex. Why are they playing so bad and with such low intensity then, says Marlow United? Well, don't listen to players. I mean, how Cunha can compare Michael Carrick to Sir Alex Ferguson when he didn't play under Sir Alex is hilarious. And Maynou saying he'll die for Carrick is great because he's picking him. But, you know, if Maynou was sat on the bench, he wouldn't die for Carrick, would he? And if Cunha hadn't scored yesterday and was on the bench, he wouldn't be saying that. So, look, I like Cunha and Maynou, but you're asking turkeys to vote for cancelling Christmas. They're players that are in the team being picked. You shouldn't listen to players. They're paid employees. I don't give a shit about what the players think, because this squad will down tools as quick as they pick them up. So I wouldn't listen to players. Some of these players are playing really, really well. Some of them aren't playing very well. I don't think there's a United fan out there that thinks we can trust these players and just go into next season with what we've got. I firmly believe, and I think some of you believe that we do need open heart surgery. So why would I listen to these players about what they think when I might get rid of a lot of them at some point in the next 2 years? Funnily enough, I wouldn't get rid of Maynou and Cunha. Chunky says, now Champions League is secured, would you play the kids? I personally think we should be giving minutes to some people like Xerxes and Lacey and Mount and obviously Heaven and Yoro. I think we should be giving these players minutes because we have got Champions League football and there's a lot of players that do need minutes. I don't think he will. I think he's just going to keep chasing results to get the job. And you can't criticise him for that. But ultimately, yes, I do agree. There's a lot of players that, you know, we could look at in the next few weeks and decide about over the summer. I mean, it sounds crazy, but Lenny Yoro probably needs a loan. I can't see where he's going to get any game time. I mean, we were talking yesterday about whether Aiden Hebben is going to get game time now Martinez is back. I mean, where's Lenny Yoro's game time going to come from? Although we will play more games next season. So, you know, with injuries and rotation, he hopefully will get more. I think we should spend $250 million in total, says GGMU. Well, let's talk a little bit about transfers, because this Harry Kane story, to be honest with you, it's not the best source about Harry Kane. So Man United are interested in signing Harry Kane this summer. The striker is approaching key contract talks with Bayern at the end of the season, with United ready to pounce on any issues in negotiations. Bayern remain relaxed and still expect Kane to sign a new deal despite growing interest. United are not prioritising a striker but would not pass up the chance if Kane becomes available. So that's the story coming out this morning. But Man United probably do need to go for a striker anyway. Now look, Harry Kane is not coming to Manchester United. I can't see how it happens. As somebody who watches a lot of the Bundesliga, because we have the footage on That's Football, Harry Kane is going to be 33 in the summer. His release clause at Bayern Munich, I think, is 60 million. His salary is over 300k a week. United just won't do this for financial reasons and the fact that he's over 26. So we won't do this deal anyway. Would I take Harry Kane at Man United? Look, I love what Sesko is doing, but Harry Kane's one of the best strikers in the world. If you put Harry Kane up front for Man United, I think we're guaranteed top four. I don't think we're guaranteed top four next season as things stand at the moment, but I think if you put Harry Kane up front, you are. So I'd love to see Harry Kane at Manchester United, but we won't do that, and we probably shouldn't do that, if I'm being completely honest, because the fundamental areas that Man United need to focus on, and yesterday showed it again, is midfield and fullbacks. That the weakest area of Man United is the midfield and the fullbacks. That's where we need to spend money. So you need three midfielders and two fullbacks. Well, we won't even get that. So why would you go and spend 300 grand a week and £60 million on Harry Kane? Fantastic player. The question is, are we going to bring a striker in? Because also Thiago at Brentford's been mentioned. I mean, what I would say about Thiago is, where does he score all his goals? Because every time I watch him, he's shit. But he obviously is a good striker, but I don't watch Brentford week in, week out. But every game I watch Brentford, he's not very good, but he has scored a lot of goals. So I think yesterday showed that we do need a striker, by the way. Let's not forget, yesterday was a brilliant result. But like every other game in the last 3 months, the performance left a lot to be desired. If it wasn't for a moment of brilliant by Mainu, I don't think we win that game. And there's been a lot of games like that in recent weeks. Where did it go wrong yesterday? Because the first half was good. Sesko's injury is where it went wrong. Mbeumo up front is ineffective. We're basically constantly looking to get, you know, we're hitting long balls, hoping that he gets in one-on-one. That's all Mbeumo does up front. It's just a long ball and sprint after it. There's no hold-up play. There's no physicality. There's no link-up play. It just doesn't work unless you can hit a long ball and get him in. It doesn't work, and it ruined us. It allowed Liverpool to get higher up the pitch because Sesko actually was battling their centre-backs. So when Sesko went off yesterday, and this will be a problem in future games, is that we lose that distinctive striker. I think that we have to bring a striker in next season. And the fact that Carrick won't use Xerxes shows you a lot about what Xerxes is doing in training, because logically, Xerxes is physical, he's tall, and he can hold the ball up. But the fact that he won't bring Xerxes on unless it's the last 5 minutes shows you that Carrick doesn't fancy Xerxes at all. So I think we need to bring a striker in the summer, because Sesko playing game in, game out twice a week for a full season can happen. He's still quite young, but also players do get tired, players do get injured, players do need rotating. So I think we do need to bring a striker in. Finding the profile of that striker is going to be very interesting. And also, I mean, would you rule out Man United keeping Xerxes? I mean, I think it's in... I'll tell you what, I'll say this. Should Man United keep Xerxes next season, right? Let's run a poll on it, because there's somewhere I'm going to go with this. So, should Xerxes stay next season? Yes or no, right? We've got a player that in his 2 years that he's been here, under three managers, none of them have fancied him at all. Amrim used him a little bit. Ten Hag probably used him the most. Carrick doesn't use him at all. So we've got a striker here that none of our managers have used. misprofile, whatever, right? Next season, do you keep Xerxes at the football club? Or do you let him go for £30 million and bring somebody else in? Now, if we don't bring in a striker in the summer and we stick with Xerxes, is that not the definition of lack of ambition? Because I think we all know he ain't the guy. I think he knows he's not the guy, and I think Carrick knows he's not the guy. But if we keep him around because we can't afford to replace him, that's a lack of ambition. So there's a lot of things that can happen over the summer transfer window now that will show the ambition of this ownership. And I think Xerxes is one of the key ones. If we keep him as an option because it's cheaper to do that than replace him, then that says everything. Because for me, we saw yesterday in the second half the problem when Sesko comes off. And Xerxes is clearly not the solution to that problem. So I think that we have to be bringing a forward in. But whether we've got the money to do it or not, I don't know. So it'd be very, very interesting to see how that pans out. We need another class striker, says Laura Baxter. And do you know if we count the league since Carries took over, we would be top of the league, says Calvin. I do know that, Calvin, but why? I mean, look, it's difficult, isn't it? What are you trying to do with that comment? I'm not going to suddenly go, Kelvin, I didn't know that. I want Carrick. I've explained why I don't want to do it for weeks and weeks and weeks. And maybe some people don't agree. Maybe some people do agree. But you telling me we'd be top of the league if the league started in January doesn't change what I've said about I feel that we're making the same mistake we did with Ollie. Ollie won a load of games as well. The players loved Ollie, and look at what happened. I don't see anything different between what we did with Ollie and what we're doing with Carrick. And surprise, surprise, do your research. Michael Carrick was one of the main people on the training ground taking the coaching under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Go and do your research. Go and do your research. Most players, journalists said when Ollie was here, it was Carrick and McKenna doing the coaching. So look, I don't see a lot of difference. I don't think it's going to work. I hope I'm going to be wrong. I don't think we're going to see scintillating, amazing football next season. I think we're going to see more of the same and more of what we saw under Ollie. And if it goes wrong, I think there's going to be big problems. But I'm not here to piss on your Carrick parade. I hope he does well. I understand why you want to give him the job. I understand he deserves a chance. I understand the results are good. But you're not going to change my mind. At no point am I going to say, I think this is the right thing to do. If you want that, go and watch Rio Cheerleader Fairyland. He'll tell you all that. But I ain't going to do that. And fair play if you want to do it. It's not negativity. It's just I think we're making the wrong choice. And I want to be wrong. I want to be wrong. And that's why I just want them to give him the job now and focus on the positives of the transfer window. Because talking about the manager, if I'm being completely honest, does get quite boring. They're going to give him the job. He does deserve the chance, I suppose. I just think it's a mistake. Let's get on with the real business, because whoever the manager is, this squad ain't going to do it. So the big thing for me is what we do next in the transfer market. Now, David Ornstein has said again, as has Fabrizio Romano, that our focus is still Elliot Anderson. Fabrizio Romano said it again last night, Elliot Anderson. I don't know what to add into that. I don't know what to add into that. We have got Champions League football. And I mean, look, the interesting thing that David Ornstein said is Man United have made Elliot Anderson their primary target for the next transfer window. They have the funds to get the deal done, but it will depend on aligning with Nottingham Forest's valuation. You know, two sentences, you could write a book on that. So Elliot Anderson is still, after 9 months, our primary target for the next transfer window. Man United have got the funds to get the deal done, but it depends whether Forest align on the valuation. And that last sentence, just to me, is sort of like, well, there's your get out, isn't it? We want Elliot Anderson, but he's too expensive. But nobody's going to listen to Sir Jim Ratcliffe or the Glazers on the value of a player. If Man United try and say we're not paying £100 million and walk away, I think every United fan is going to go, well, what did you think you were going to pay? Like, no United fan's going to say you're right to walk away for £100 million when Caicedo cost £100 million, Declan Rice cost £100 million, and that was 2 or 3 years ago. And Man City want Elliot Anderson. You're going to have to pay £100 million. And if you think you're not paying £100 million, then why are you putting him out there as a primary target? So, look, I've always said with Elliot Anderson, and I'll be positive on this because I have always said it, there's something about it that makes me feel like we do have a chance. Despite numerous people saying Man City will win the race, I still do feel for some reason like we've got a chance. My preference is Tonali. My preference has always been Tonali. And again, you know, it's not dissimilar to the manager situation. I understand the drive to go and get Elliot Anderson. And, you know, I'm doing Villa against Forest on Thursday night, so it's another chance to look at him. But I have seen quite a lot of him this season. And I do think he's a very good player. I don't know that he's the right player for Manchester United. I look at Mainoo, who is still a work in progress, and I look at Anderson, who is still a work in progress, and I still think that's a very inexperienced midfield. Whereas, you know, you look at Michael Carrick. Sorry, not Michael Carrick. I'd love to have a prime Michael Carrick in the midfield. You look at Tonali, and I think Tonali is the midfielder that Man United need. I watched Newcastle against Brighton on Saturday afternoon. I've seen a lot of Tonali over the last few weeks, even in games where Newcastle have lost. And I think he's perfect for Man United. And what will piss me off, and I'm not saying it's going to happen, but what would piss me off is Elliot Anderson going to Manchester City, Tonali going to Arsenal, Wharton going to Liverpool, and Man United signing Belaiba. And I'm going to do a video on Belaiba later on just to explain why I think it's a bad idea, because I think a lot of people want Belaiba on vibes. Trust me, bro. And you look at United's possession this season, even with Amrin, our possession was better, but not great. I think Amrin was hovering around like 51% possession. Carrick is down at 47. Might even be lower now. You can't improve possession without having players that pass the ball, right? Belaiba doesn't pass the ball very well at all. Tonali does. Tonali is like a Carrick. He's a dictator. He conducts things. We need a player like that. And Elliot Anderson can do that. And I think we'd be over the moon with Elliot Anderson. But we also have to replace something that is hard to quantify. But you see it with Maguire and you see it with Bruno and you definitely see it with Casemiro. We need to replace experience. And we have, you know, we got Casemiro's defensive numbers are insane, by the way. Like, if Elliot Anderson does 9 successful defensive actions per game, Casemiro will be doing 15. His defensive numbers are incredible. And that's experience. We need to replace that. We need to replace that. Mr. OG says, we've not... Sorry, just before I come to that, 70% of you wouldn't keep Xerxes next season. 30% of you would. Look, the reason I wouldn't... I like Xerxes. I think he's a talented player and I think he's a fool for not getting out in January because he could have gone to the World Cup, but you don't know what promises Man United made him. If he stays at Man United just because he likes it, he's got to go. We're not a charity. We're a football club. I don't want to keep players just because they like it here. I want to keep players here that are part of our future. And if we keep Xerxes, my question would be, why haven't we used him this season? Why are we keeping him for next season when we haven't used him this season? Because he's cheap. And I'd make the same argument. Well, it would be the same argument as what happened with Maguire. Why haven't we gone for Murillo or Van Heek or Schlotterbeck or any other centre-back? Why have we kept Maguire for another year? Because it's cheap. And that I don't want to see that happening a lot this summer. We need open-heart surgery. And all right, keeping Maguire is borderline. Some of you very happy with it. Some of us think it's paper in the cracks. But we can't do that a lot this summer. I don't want that to be the tone set this summer, if you know what I mean. But as I said, I do think a striker is important for United, and I think Xerxes needs to go and a striker needs to come in. I don't mind Cunha as an alternative striker. I don't think Mbeumo works there, but I don't mind Cunha as an alternative striker. But I do think we need to bring a striker in, and unfortunately we don't have anybody in the youth setup that's ready to do that at the moment. So, I definitely do think that we do need to bring a striker in. But the priorities have got to be three midfielders, a left-back and a right-back. I don't think there are two positions in the United team that scream out we're getting away with it more than left-back and right-back. And look, midfield is a problem for Man United. It's funny how we talk about the midfield because it is a problem, but Casemiro and Mainoo have actually done quite well. It's more that Casemiro's leaving and the depth. The midfield is a massive issue, but Mainoo and Casemiro have done well. It's just Casemiro's going and we need more depth. But nothing screams out to me that Man United are getting away with it more than our fullbacks. I mean, you know, look at what that young kid did to Dalot for the last 10 minutes. He took their piss. Casemiro and Maguire were having to come across to help out. Like, he was absolutely rinsing Dalot. And that miss at the end by Dalot, fuck. I mean, he's got to score. Luke Shaw, apparently he's world class. I don't see it. So, look, our fullbacks need replacing. And he doesn't like Mazraoui, does he? So we do need two fullbacks. But I mean, whether we're going to get three midfielders and two fullbacks, I don't know. But that's where I'd be spending my money. Welbeck could be a cheap and decent stopgap for now, says GGM. I mean, I'd love Danny Welbeck at the football club, but he's just signed a new deal at Brighton, and it's a shame because I think he would have been a decent shout. I mean, 35, he'd be 36 next year, but you could get a season out of him. Listen to what Jeremy said on Neville's post-match pod about United winning the title soon. His real view on Carrick and the club slips out, says Jen. Yeah, well, I don't think you mean Jeremy. I think you mean Jamie. Obviously, Jamie Carragher has said that Man United should give Carrick the job, but the veil did slip. This is a very good comment from Zen. So a lot of non-United ex-players and journalists are saying, give Carrick the job. Give Carrick the job, give Carrick the job. But Carragher was talking to Neville after the game yesterday and the veil did slip because he said, you were talking about United winning the title, Gary, in the next couple of years. He said, your glass is way too full, way too full. You haven't even got a manager. And I'm like, but you said to give Carrick the job and Carrick's got the job at the moment. And I think the veil did slip. I think that was a glimpse of what many people think. The reason the likes of Carragher and Shearer and, you know, every other pundit are saying give Carrick the job is because they want Carrick to get the job because they don't believe Man United will get back anywhere near where we want to get back. It will just be, you know, mediocre. So you're right. I saw that. Nick says, I don't trust this board or the owners. They're so slow in everything they do. A manager needs to be appointed so we can get him the player he needs. I actually do. Look, Nick, I've always said, and this is to do with transfers, right? I've always said that the summer transfer window was going to go in the blink of an eye because of the World Cup. I've always said you need to be active in January. We weren't. I always said in the March international break, you need to be talking to players. We didn't. I always said that as soon as you've got Champions League football, you've got to be picking up the phone, getting on in contact with players. We've got Champions League football this morning and the conversation is still about the manager. Now, if we are genuinely going to interview Nagelsmann and Emery and Iriola at the end of the season and Carrick and make a decision, fine. But we're not, are we? What we're going to do is we're going to wait till the end of season and then give Carrick the job. Well, you've just wasted a month in the transfer market. Like, you know what I mean? I've always said that we should interview other candidates before we give Carrick the job. And they need to be good candidates and we need to know who they are. We're not going to do that. What we're going to do is, you've got the job, but we're not announcing it till the end of the season. And all that does is shorten the transfer window. If Carrick's going to get it, and he clearly is, it should be announced now. They should live and die on that sword and they should get on with transfers. And I'm sort of in agreement with the Carrick inners that he's Just give him the job now. You've already made the decision. Give him the job now and then get on the phone to Anderson and Tonali and Belaba and Diamande and whoever else it is, because there's a lot of people to speak to, and get on with building the summer out. There's no time to waste. And I feel like waiting till early June to give Carrick the job is a month away. And in early June, you've then only got 2 months instead of three. My concern now is, and it does sound slightly hypocritical, but you need to listen to it. I don't really want Carrick to get the job, but it's obvious he is going to get the job. So just give it him and get on with the transfers. Don't wait a month to do the inevitable and lose a month in transfers. Like, get on with it. Because people say, well, they could be doing things secretly. You can't. You can't do things secretly, because if you pick the phone up to Elliot Anderson and say, this is our offer, and he goes, who's the manager going to be? And you go, it's going to be Carrick. And then he goes to Man City. It would just get leaked out that Carrick's the manager anyway. So we do need that. We do need to just make a decision and get moving. I think the most important thing now is, and look, maybe your opinions are still stuck in yesterday or last week, but where I am now is, now that we have Champions League football and it feels great, you're planning for next season. You know, Coventry City and Ipswich are planning for the Premier League now and how they stay up. Man United need to plan now for how we're going to stay in the Champions League next year. We've got to be in the top four or five next season. And the work starts now. And humming and ahhing about, well, how do we announce Carrick? Just fucking do it and get on with signing players. Hitton says, you either gamble big with 30 to 50 million signings or small with 70 million plus ones. The ownership will go conservative. I can already see Belaba and Stiller being it. Says, I'd be very happy with Stiller, Hitton. I've heard nothing about whether we're going to do anything about that. Nick says, I don't trust this board or the owners. They're so slow in everything they do. A manager needs to be appointed so we can get him the players he needs. I think I did that one. Thank you very much, Nick. Leave Anderson and get Tonali and Stiller, says me, the lemon lover. Ineos need to go to Specsavers. They've got no vision, says Rio. And JSD says, I rate Neville for mentioning Nagelsmann for manager. Finally, people in the mainstream might be giving him notice. And Mr. Ogg says, we have not been playing good football. Results have been good. Other than that, statistically, we've gone backwards. No vision, Ineos. And Mark Fudge says, Carrick came in when other teams had Champions League and tired and has rode luck, in my opinion. The breaks in training isn't what a long-term successful manager does. And DC14 says, Diouf, Tchouaméni, Tonali, Fernandes, Liao, striker. Raymond says, I would keep Xerxes based on the reason that I don't think we would bring in a striker even if we sold him. Yeah, and that's what I mean. That's a lack of ambition, isn't it? Keeping Xerxes because we can't be asked to buy a striker. Personally, wouldn't mind Brobby, Mark, says Josh. And Jack Davies says, interims are never bought in to show a vision, stability and results. Carrick has passed that test. The vision should come from the club with transfers. No manager has been backed to kick on when needed, says Jack. And why do you keep saying first half was good, says Marlowe. I thought, well, look, I don't want to talk about the Liverpool game because I want to move on and start talking about United kicking. I mean, Wilcox has done fuck all for 4 months. He sacked a manager, fluked it with Carrick, and then has just sat there doing nothing. I mean, what is Jason Wilcox actually doing? I want him to go to work, Marlo. I want him to go to fucking work today. Start ringing up, getting fucking deals done. But look, what I'm trying to say about yesterday's first half performance is that I don't think anybody can begrudge the fact that we were 2-0 up. And to be 2-2 after 10 minutes of the second half, obviously we played shit in the second half. I'm not saying first half was amazing. I did see somebody say that's the best half of football we've played since Arsenal. It wasn't. I thought Brentford first 12 minutes was a lot better, but losing Sesko was a problem. Martinez midfield trial now, says Robert. I do not believe that Heaven should be dropped. I do not believe it. He should not be dropped. But he might be because Mazraoui played really well against Chelsea and hasn't played since. So I just do not think Heaven should be dropped. He's too good a prospect to be dropped. I watched a lot of football this weekend. You look at people like, you know, Arsenal, Aston Villa, Spurs, Van der Ven, etc. I'm not saying Heaven's better than Van der Ven yet, but he bloody well could be very, very soon. I mean, what does Aiden... I mean, can you remember that point in the game where... I can't remember whether it was the second half or the first half. Luke Shaw's out of position. A Liverpool player is sprinting for the ball. Luke Shaw can't get there, but Aiden Heaven just sprints across. And he's only 19. Like, these are key years for him. I just think Aiden Heaven needs to stay in the team for the rest of the season. I mean, we've qualified for the Champions League. Why would you bring Martinez back in for Heaven? Like, we've qualified for the Champions League. Give him the last three games of the season to, you know, boost his development. Absolutely. Emily Derry says, the midfield is urgent. There were times it was bypassed too easily yesterday because Maynou can't be everywhere and Casemiro was not quite at the races. Had a great time at Old Trafford yesterday. Well done, Emily. Thank you very much for your super chat. I'm glad you enjoy it. Maybe Carrick's holding off until transfer guarantees, says Just Some Tall Guy. Appreciate that as well. Red Devil News says, morning, Mark. Remember when we're linked with Inzaghi? Personally, I think he's the best option, but I would take Nagelsmann. And Zen says, what if they think delaying the manager announcement helps attract better players and that the board wants, especially with the Champions League now secured, says Zen. And Dirty Deed says they never do transfers early so they can save on wages. Yeah, it's probably a fair point, to be honest. Good luck at Baller League tonight. Hopefully Gold Devils can get the win and try and push on for top four, says Sam. Yes, I am on Baller League tonight, if you want to watch that on my channel. Looking forward to that. Would you get Lewandowski on a free transfer, says Gamer King of Kings? No. But he says you could get 2 years of experience in the Champions League and therefore can invest more elsewhere. No, I don't think Lewandowski is the right way to go. I mean, we've done it multiple times with Cavani and Zlatan and Ronaldo. I don't think so. No. I personally wouldn't do it. No. On the poll, 60% of you would not. 40% would give Carrick the job. 60% wouldn't. So, look, I think it's 50-50. I know that's not 50-50, but I think across the fan base, I think it is 50-50. Give Carrick the job, don't give the job. Which is surprising, considering the results and the players backing the manager and the results. It's surprising that it's 50-50. I don't know why. I know my opinion, and I'm sure you know yours. I don't know why it's only 50-50, but... I think a lot of it probably comes down to fear of, you know, making the same mistake, not trusting the board and the vision. You know, you look at Lausanne, you look at Nice, they're really badly run football clubs by Ineos. You look at the last 20 years of the Glazers, really bad decisions. Maybe it's just a lack of trust in the people making the decisions. But I think what I do think, and this is my opinion, is I totally and utterly respect those people who want to give Carrick the job. I totally and utterly understand it. And I totally understand the fact that people say, look at the results, you know, results are all that matter. He deserves a chance to run the job, take the job. Absolutely. I completely agree and respect with it, right? But I don't think it's reciprocal when people say, I'm terrified of this going wrong. If it goes wrong, we're back where we were 6 months ago. Would they sack him anyway? You know, if we make this decision and it goes wrong, how many years is it going to cost us? Because I don't see them sacking the next manager in 12 months. I don't see them doing that again. So whoever the next manager is, I think they get a minimum of 2 years, maybe even three. So if we make this decision wrong, I think some people go, well, if it goes wrong, we can sack him before Christmas. I don't think that happens. I think if you know, Jason Wilcox wants a puppet. Jason Wilcox wants somebody he can stand on the training ground with and talk tactics with. That's not a director of football, by the way. I don't think if we get this wrong, this is going to be a quick fix. I think if we get this wrong, it's going to hurt us for 2 or 3 years. And we've had 13 years of being shit by our own standards. How many more years are we going to do that for? And that's why, for me, I've never swayed from we need an experienced coach with a defined style of play, a proven track record, and experience in managing domestic and European football at the same time. And those are the four things I think we have to go for. And it's a world of difference from, I heard somebody saying, well, I'd go for Luis Enrique, but he's not available, so let's go for Carrick. And I sort of like go, but Luis Enrique ticks every box I've just said there, and then you go for Carrick, who ticks none. How do you go from Luis Enrique is not available, so let's go to Carrick? Like, there's no correlation. Surely you go Luis Enrique is not available, so let's get something close to that. Why would you go from I want Luis Enrique but I can't get him, so let's go to Carrick? Like, Luis Enrique ticks all those four things I've just said, whereas Carrick ticks none. So surely you'd go from Luis Enrique to someone like Emery or Nagelsmann. Why would you go from Luis Enrique down to there? And that's, I understand fans doing it, but I don't understand why the board would do it. Dirty Deeds. A couple of other things I want to talk about as well. Fabrizio Romano, Manchester United. How many times have we heard this from Fabrizio, by the way? I did see Fabrizio yesterday giving credit to Jason Wilcox for giving the job to Carrick. He basically said, well, it was very close to between Solskjaer and Carrick, and he gave Carrick the job, so he's got to be given credit for getting it right. And I thought, oh my God, how much information is Fabrizio getting from Man United if he's glazing Wilcox? He said this, busy and exciting summer window is anticipated across multiple positions. At least two midfielders are planned. A winger is also targeted. Decisions on striker and defence depend on factors like Xerxes' future and injury concerns with Martinez and De Ligt. Champions League football will help in attracting high-quality players, building on recent signings made without it. Sounds like a bit of a PR statement, to be honest with you, but obviously it's coming in from Fabrizio. Look, there's not a lot of meat on the bones. At least two midfielders. We've heard that for about 6 months. A winger has been targeted. We've heard about that for 6 months. Decisions on striker and defence doesn't mean we're signing anybody. Champions League football will obviously give us more money and hopefully help us attract high-quality players. But look, it's exciting that, you know, it's transfers. But ultimately, it comes down to when are we going to start doing something? This was the quote from Fabrizio. We have to give credit to the United board because the management decided to go for Carrick, even though Solskjaer was very close to getting the job. The final decision was 50-50, but they decided to go for Carrick. Well, it was the right decision. They flipped a fucking coin, let's be honest. I'm shocked no one has mentioned Ted Lasso and Coach Board as the next manager duo for United. Wouldn't be surprised if Wilcox thinks they're proven, says Polsky. And Andy Webster says, whatever manager we get, they won't be backed anyway. So stability for me is the way forward. Why bring in a top manager to sack him within a year and then get another interim? You can see it already. Andy, I completely disagree with you. I do not think the next manager will be sacked in a year. I think that was a complete and utter shit show. Because Amorim basically fell out with Wilcox and they had to do something. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think we will recruit a manager that is capable of falling out with Wilcox. Man United would not have sacked Amorim if they hadn't fallen out. If Amorim had just gone, okay, I'll put up with this, they wouldn't have sacked him. I don't think we'll appoint a manager that's capable of falling out with the board. So we won't be in a position where we sacked them. What I'm trying to say, Andy, is, you're acting like if the results go bad, we'll sack a manager in 12 months. We've never done that. We won't do that. We didn't sack Amorim on results. We sacked him because he fell out with Wilcox. I don't see Carrick or Iriola falling out with Wilcox. So even if it goes bad, I think it's 2 or 3 years before they do something about it. I just do not agree that we're going to sack the next manager within 12 months. Absolutely not. The decision we make, we're going to have to live with for 2 or 3 years. Even if that's finishing 8th and 6th and 5th, I still think they'll get 2 or 3 years. I've done that one, thank you very much. But look, I think the most important thing is that the focus has to be on the summer now. I think the manager thing is just a case of when, not if. We have to start on this transfer window. And what I don't want to see in the next couple of weeks is Anderson chooses Man City and Tonali's too expensive. That's going to make my heart sink. we have to replace Casemiro with quality. Tchouaméni at Real Madrid, still a possibility. Let's not take him out. But we have to get Tonali, Anderson or Tchouaméni to make this season, this summer, ambitious. Ambition is not red flags. Ambition is not a punt. We have to go out and get either Tchouaméni, Tonali or Anderson. Absolutely. Has to be done. Whoever the manager is, the board has to deliver now. What does Carrick need to do next season in order for you to say giving him the job was the right call, says Patrick? Oh, God, what a question. Look, as I've said, I think it's the wrong thing to do. I think I'll be on the right side of history. I hope I'm not. And if I'm not, I will obviously say, you know, I wasn't right. And I'm happy I wasn't right. I will back him when he gets the job. I'm not going to be there saying sack the manager all summer. I mean, I think that's just incredible. We've seen Arsenal fans do that with Arteta, and I think it's, you know, that's not supporting your club, is it? So once he gets the job, I will, you know, back him, even though I don't think it's the right thing to do. What would make me say I was wrong, or what would make me say I think they made the right choice? I don't think Michael Carrick being at the club for 5 years, finishing fourth, is good enough. It's not, he won't get the sack off that, by the way, but I don't think I don't think stability is enough for me to go, I was wrong. I want to see performance, results and vision. I want to see United step up to where Arsenal are. I want to see United in the Champions League every year, in the latter stages every year. So if Michael Carrick can take us to, you know, consistently the quarterfinals of the Champions League and pitches in around second place, that's where I think United, over the next 3 years, need to be at. But if we're doing what we've done over the last few years, and it's 1 year in, 1 year out, and it's fifth and seventh and stuff like that, I mean, that's not good enough. But it might be good enough for the board. Great question, Patrick. What do you think? Emily Derry says, Ollie hung on because he was a yes man. We were getting sackable results before the board acted. Carrick, I fear, will be more of the same and always will be with the people we have put on the board. Thank you very much. I just think people forget Michael Carrick spent 3 years at this football club as an assistant coach to Mourinho and Ollie. And this isn't something new unless he shows us something new. I think some people act like Carrick under Ollie just used to put the kits out. He ran the training. He was his assistant coach. So we have been here before. Some people just don't want to accept that that's a reason why some people don't think we should do it, because we have been here before. Do you think Lampard could take Mount, says Matt? Controversial. Mason Mount shouldn't be at Man United next season. And if we can loan him out to play games of football, we should, but we won't. So I think Coventry for Mason Mount would be a very good idea, but we won't do it. I also do question what we're doing with Lenny Yoro, because I almost feel like Lenny Yoro is becoming, like, next season for Yoro is pivotal. He's been here for 2 years and he's still, well, Aidan Heaven's gone past him. He's going to be 21 next season. And it's his third year. And we bought a generational talent. So if Lenny Yoro was coming through the youth, I'd say loan him out. But we spent £50 million on him, so we can't loan him out. But Yoro, to me, is a player. There's a few players, isn't there? There's definitely Mason Mount. There's definitely Luke Shaw. Dalot probably as well. And Yoro, players that will be here next season, but you don't know how they're going to get in the team. But Yoro has to be, there has to be a pathway for him. There has to be a pathway. He can't just have another season like this season. And G-Man says Yoro will be fine, but where? How? If De Ligt comes back and Maguire's staying, where are these minutes coming from? I mean, if I'm Yoro, I'm like, how the fuck is Maguire getting in the team ahead of me? I'm quicker than him. I'm better on the ball than him. I can learn a lot from him, but he's got to start pushing Maguire out of that team. I don't think it's acceptable to be sat on the bench for a 33-year-old Harry Maguire next season. We saw what happened with Maguire yesterday in a back four. Szoboszlai is not the most skillful player in the world, and he did him. So I think Yoro's got to be pushing Maguire out of the team next season. Main says, I think Dalit is done. I think this Dalit talk of him being done is premature. He's had a bad injury. He's very close to being back. I think he'll be fine next season. I hope I'm right on that, by the way. Okay, thanks everyone for watching. I am live on Baller League later. I'm just about to knock up a video on That's Football about Liverpool. And it's bank holiday in the UK today, so I don't think we've got a 2 o'clock show, but it's like a Sunday because it's a bank holiday, but we will have an evening show for you as well. Fantastic show this morning. 59% wouldn't give Carrick the job, 41% would. Glenn C says, the sad thing is people think we could be back if Pep leaves City, but the truth is City will spend and sack until they get the best regardless. Yeah, they're not going to go anywhere. I think we'll be in the top four, whoever's in charge next year, says Robert McCormack. We have to be in the top four next season. Jack Fraser says, does point progression matter this season, factoring lack of games, Mark? I can't answer that question. I was asked this question yesterday. Do you think that only playing in the Premier League has been a huge advantage for Manchester United? My prediction is yes. But in fairness, it's only in the second half of the season that we've seen the advantage of only playing in the Premier League. And I suppose that's logical because it's like running a marathon, isn't it, with a backpack. Man United have just been running the marathon, whereas a lot of teams have been running with a backpack. And I think for the first half of the race, maybe you don't feel the weight. But in the second half of the race, when you're getting tired, that weight starts to bear down on you. Whereas we haven't had that. And I think in the last few, I mean, how many big breaks have we had as well? Like, most of our bad results have come when we've had a midweek game. So I think playing one game a week has a big... I mean, look at bloody Spurs yesterday. I mean, they ran Villa ragged, who played on Thursday night. And we saw it last year when we played Thursday night. So be interesting next season, who's in Europe and who's not in Europe, and how it impacts us. I would expect there to be more injuries for Man United next season as well. I don't think we have had injuries, but I think we'll have more. It's why the transfer window is so important. People forget that Arsenal have had a lot of injuries, but they have an incredible squad. We do need to aspire to that. Thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in this morning. Really enjoyed it. And make sure you smash a like on the video on your way out. I will speak to you all later. Take care.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take 5 before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.